I'm going to be speaking to you about how row covers may factor into this climate change topic. And I may say some things that are a little bit non-promotive of plasticulture technology. And you'll see why that might be an interesting way to end this today. But I think sometimes we get very zealous in embracing new technologies that come out, such as row covers. And I spent probably 10 years researching row covers in a part of North Carolina that has a very mild winter climate. And we were looking at overwinter uses of these row covers. And I spent probably 4 years with no good data coming out showing support for the use of the row covers, at least in that overwinter application for that mild coastal plain climate. It puzzled me that we weren't seeing the things that we were sort of expecting. So today I'm going to kind of touch on a similar theme quickly. The industry has built up quite a bit since our initial testing in the early 80s with this hybrid growing system, the California annual growing system, California varieties, and we flavored it with the black plastic that was popular in Florida and started out with fresh dug plants. And it's a fairly nice industry today, kind of stable. It's mostly all direct marketing, UPIC, ReadyPIC, and CSAs are now popular along with the farm markets. A little bit of activity on wholesale. Our season is variable. We should be picking in early April. This year it was the end of April. So our moderator alluded to these variable conditions. And we certainly got thrown off with our harvesting opener this year by 2-3 weeks. This Chandler variety's got some stay power. It's been with us for 3 decades. It's probably going to go on for another 2. We do have Camarosa as a very important cultivar for the annual plasticulture system. And what's coming on in a very interesting way is Albion, a day neutral. Just a few background things. Chandler, as I say, is still popular for probably the fact that it's the best adapted to our climate. We are a very variable weather climate. In fact, I think we have been identified as the most extreme climate in the Mid-South by a meteorologist I've spoken to in recent days. So we feel like this is a good topic to be discussing today as it relates to the strawberry world. There have been even newer reports issued by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Again, they use the word unequivocal that relate to the climate change that's happening. We have a legislature in North Carolina that's still legislating against it, and they don't see it as a real thing. That's not why I had to retire, though. I voluntarily retired. I'm still a great believer in tenure. If you do have feelings about things like this, it's a good thing to have that fallback. What does all this mean to our growers? Well, like it or not, we need to be adapting. And here are some things that we're attempting to do in this climate that is it's a multi-season climate. We have our summer, fall, winter, and spring when we pick the crop. It's a 9-month growing cycle. It begins there on the lower left with a planting of usually plug plants in the fall. We try to get them fairly sized up before the new year. You might see in late January, early February, that midwinter look. You see those strawberry plants laying flat on the plastic there. That's a typical, quote, normal look for that time of year. And then with some warm-up, we see rapid changes. Oftentimes, early March, the plants begin to break their dormancy and go into a rapid leaf development stage followed by the buds emerging from the crowns, open blooms soon after, and setting the fruit, which is ready in early mid-April. A key factor to our industry's continuing success, and believe me, it's a challenging world climate compared to California for growing strawberries, but a thing that's kept us alive has been row covers, no doubt about it. The Easter freeze of 2007 was where we were exposed to some of the most horrendous conditions imaginable. Full bloom, April 7th and 8th, and income temperatures of 16 Fahrenheit and winds well in excess of 10 miles an hour at this critical stage. Luckily, we'd been experimenting with row covers and applying the irrigation or sprinkler irrigation right on top to make a nice blanket, if you will, over the covers. And there you see it Easter morning. I call it the 1 plus 1 equals 3 effect. It's really remarkable how you can protect blooms at such cold temperatures under this ice-cased row cover. And we do run the water continuously, though there's all kinds of opportunity for researchers to look at cycling. And we have growers now who actually sprinkle the covers, let them freeze up, and don't do another thing the rest of the night, which is really interesting for cold protection. So clearly, our sprinkler technology was obsolete. It could not have managed this type of crisis that occurred in 2007. In Tennessee, there were growers who got down to 8 Fahrenheit with a micro-sprinkler type system. Here you see the ice caked up after 2 days. This crop actually produced a good crop. So these are some powerful tools, especially when you combine the covers and the irrigation. What we are seeing now, though, is what I'm just going to call growing season confusion. I experience it, the growers experience it, and we're a little bit tentative in understanding how best to use these tools today, quite frankly, and this is a sad admission after a number of years working with this crop, but we feel like we're in a new phase of management of the row covers. A winter before last, I was in Louisville. It was the only snow I saw that winter. The only snow I saw out there in horse country. I was out there speaking to some grape growers having issues with global climate change type things. Here's something that sends fear into our hearts, if you will. It's early mid-January, and you see that arrow pointing to a brand new leaf-breaking disaster. This is us. This is our plant breaking out of its dormancy, which is so important to maintain during the winter season. This is just showing you a summary table of data back in January 2005, where, as an example, one day on January 4th, we had 74 degrees Fahrenheit in the Winston-Salem area, which was a 26-degree departure above the normal. Just crazy. Growers were sending me pictures of blooms coming out in January. What to do with these blooms? This year, quite the opposite. It didn't seem like winter was ever going to let go. In January, we had record freezes. The same location, we experienced instead departures on the minus side, big time. And on January 7th, that last one, we had a big departure. We actually had a 6-degree Fahrenheit record cold temperature for that date. It wasn't our coldest in the last 30 years, but it was for that date. In the month of January, we've gone down into the even below zero. What does all this imply for winter row cover use? Well, we're going to have to adapt to these changing conditions somehow or other. If the winter it becomes a no-show, I think the growers need to think about the possibility that they're not obliged to put those overwinter covers on. And they have a hard time getting over that idea of letting go of something they've done in the past like that. If we have an old-fashioned winter, now this is the hard part, it may also be the case that we don't need row covers, at least in some latitudes, for the types of temperatures we're experiencing. And I'll try to elaborate on that. Here's the easier one. When you have a warm January of 2005 with temperatures of 74, the question becomes, what are you doing out there? You're adding more crowns. These plants will be monsters come spring harvest. You'll have 6, 7, 8 branch crowns. They'll have too many flowers. You've not managed the crop's reproductive vegetative balance as you need to. In those conditions, the last thing we want to do is push the crop, which is a row cover. It does a beautiful job. When it's sunny out there, it's elevating the temperatures underneath incredibly. You can be doing 70s, 80s when it's 60 Fahrenheit outside. So the midwinter goal is to maximize plant hardiness. This is not a growth stage. And so what we're doing now is trying to do as much as we can with meteorologists and getting an advance forecast of what type of weather we're going to see over the next few weeks. And these are proving to be invaluable. Having 2-week forecasts that are very reliable tell us whether we're going to go into a warm-up phase, thus the cover stays off. Another question to understand is how much cold protection is needed by a dormant strawberry plant. And this is sort of the guts of this talk. I have been assuming that minimums of 10 degrees Fahrenheit minus 12 C or below can be damaging to strawberry dormant crowns. That is in the literature all over the place, from North Carolina to Ontario. I see publications with that information. Well, as I've broken free of the usual challenges of a faculty member at NC State and retirement phase now where I just pursue interesting things, I get to follow up with the agents and do site visits like I've never done before to evaluate just how good is this information. You know what? It's not very good. It's not very good at all. We're finding out that Chandler and Camarosa both are hardy down to 3 degrees Fahrenheit, no problem, if conditions have been winter-like and allow the plant to acclimate after Thanksgiving into December. It can hold beautifully down to temperatures of 3. We've seen down to 0. So, hey, this needs to be reevaluated. We have this information. They're hardy to 10. Here you see a plant on the right that had a exposure to below that temperature. But this actually occurred in the fall season before it was hardy. A shock. A ridiculously cold temperature around Thanksgiving caused the pith in this plant to darken. However, it can recover from that type of damage. What it can't recover from is what you see on the right. That's a plant that has had damage to its cambium. That's end of the road. This is the kind of damage they got up north this year in places like Ohio, New York, where they had devilish weather. Pritz told me last night they had 20 days below zero in Ithaca this year and a minus 17. Mind-boggling. Now, I'm not talking about that area. I'm talking about what goes on in the Mid-South. Site visit time. Here's Chandler on the 12th of March. This grower had no covers all winter. I thought for sure I'd be seeing crown injury. I thought for sure we'd be telling the grower, you really kind of screwed up here by not having the row covers out there. Now, this is an incredible red clay ground. It was raining. It was cold. I couldn't keep my instruments and hands clean. So you're going to see some red discoloration of the crown in a moment. But this is breaking off the plug, the three-branch crowns, cutting them longitudinal sections. There's the main crown. You see a little of that red clay. Some of it got on the specimen, but it was ivory white. Beautiful inside. So had quite a shot of cold there in January, and no damage. I saw this over and over again in all my site visits. March 4th, wow. We're now at that stage you see right there, even a few little popcorn blooms, we call them, but here you see emerged flower buds like crazy. It was a cold winter, really concentrated the crop. We had a lot of them coming out at once, scary time. And we hit this 14 degree minus 10 C situation. So I was there on the 12th, and I expected all kinds of damage. Here's what I saw. Here's the primary bud at the top of that crown we just looked at a moment ago. The upper left kind of peeled it out, opened it up. Those are not my fingernails. It better not be. discovered something wild here. We could not find a dead emerged bud in the field, not one. And the only ones that were dead were open blossoms, completely open, sort of the winter blooms, we call them. They're never important to the crop. You can have always several of these false blooms, but those were dead, yes. But gosh, you know, there's a big difference between, say, 20 and 14. Do you realize that has everything, all kinds of bearing on row cover decision making, at least for things I've been recommending? So here we go. We're seeing livability, good livability, at 14 now for emerged flower buds. So in wrapping this up, understanding cold tolerance of dormant and pre-bloom plants is key to row cover usage, correct row cover usage. And the current critical temperatures for dormant crowns and non-emerged buds, as well as the emerged buds, appear to be set far too high for good row cover decision making. I need to be a whole lot less proactive in my advisory work. I've been telling growers at that emerged bud stage, you've got to get covers on to protect these plants. You know, they could be killed at 20 Fahrenheit, so get them back on. It doesn't seem to be a good recommendation. The need then, in summary, for winter season row cover application is fairly easy and straightforward to figure out. If we've got very little winter happening out there, and temperatures are very optimum for even plant development in some cases, you don't need covers out there at all. So that's a really easy one to retire, that recommendation. However, what we're not conscious of is just how really tolerant the Chandler and Camarosa varieties are to cold temperatures that we did not anticipate that they could handle. Row covers have done so much for us and continue to serve as use for fall flower enhancement. In November is a usage. It's a growth type enhancement. If you plant late, you can enhance development, try to catch up. All these things that are enhancing development. But what we're becoming much more on guard about is the use of row covers in the dormant season. And we're pulling back big time. And we're trying to be conscious of the plant's natural tolerance to cold. We're trying to get it into a good hardy state and then keep it there. Row covers can dehearten the crop very easily. And furthermore, when we get into the pre-bloom period, we're really watching our weather situation closely because, you know, it's expensive to pull covers on and off and on and off. So we've got to be very, very mindful of getting the best forecast we can. Two-week forecasts are really helpful to us. We do a lot of that now. And we're trying to use the covers in a more sensible way, looking at the changing weather conditions and that dictating our row cover decision-making. Don't know if we have time for questions, but if we do, that would be fabulous. Thank you. Yes, Keith.
How about just sprinkling without the covers? Is that also shown? I mean, do these varieties show more tolerance? You may not need their watering.
Oh, good one. Well, the problem with sprinkling is you're really changing all the rules. When you start sprinkling the plant, suddenly you're concerned about how, say, winds can cause temperatures to become injurious, if you will, and making the ice and all that really makes things very complicated. The row cover products have an ability, if we keep the plants dry, we have an ability to see the different blossom parts, even do things like super cool. You take that away when you introduce water into this. So it really complicates it a lot. However, I will say, one of the things that we've seen a development with is row cover usage in the bloom season, when we're dealing with just the easy frost, is actually less desirable than sprinkling because of the extra headache of getting them on and off and the fear that you'll get caught in a rain pattern that keeps the covers smothering the plants during the full bloom period, thus the pollination and fruit set is interfered with. So we would actually like to keep water available as an option in the future for that period. It works really well. Any other questions? I don't want to. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I hadn't looked at it quite as closely as perhaps you have, but it seems the row cover with late planting dates can offer us an opportunity to catch up somewhat in growth. And for example, in Arkansas, I'm aware of a grower who actually sets these cutoff plants quite late, and almost within a week of planting, he's pulling a lightweight row cover over top to get growth for the next month, and then he pulls it back and hardens the crop off. However, small plants typically are more vulnerable to injury, especially if they're not rooted well in and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.